This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد When a person is sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala magnifies that person's deed and reward by making other people benefit from them. When a person speaks from the heart, it enters the heart. When a person is sincere and they do things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easier for others to benefit from. And thus, when they write books, there will be many similar books that others maybe have written. But when you mention a book on a particular topic, all you have to do is just mention it and people will know that, you know what, it's this book. And there are some people, you might have many scholars that come from a particular area. But when you say the scholar of such and such, the scholar, everyone knows who it is. These are, of course, the imams, the immas, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised their status. So I'm going to give you an example. There are certain books of a hadith. And I'm going to mention this scholar, but that's not the scholar we're talking about. Another one. When you look at the masajids and the houses of the Muslims, there are some books that you find them everywhere. Some books that you find them everywhere. Name me a book that you find almost like in every house. Yes. Riyad al-Salihin, mashallah. By Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, right? Riyad al-Salihin, there are many hadith books. And there are also many 40 hadith books. Most people think just, you know, there's not the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. Many people who came afterwards, they collected 40 hadith. But when you say the 40 hadith, everyone knows Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah. Why? Because when a person is sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala magnifies the reward and increases the reward even after they pass away, so that people can benefit from them, and then when they act upon them, the reward will continue to come to them even when they're gone. It is because it's the sincerity of the individual. And so a person's deed, the magnitude of a person's deed is determined by the sincerity of the individual. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La tahqiranna min al-ma'ruf shay'a." Do not belittle a good deed. Do not ever belittle a good deed. Even if you were to just meet your brother with a smile on your face, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكِ بِوَجْهٍ طَلْقٍ. Because sometimes that smile on your face, it can change a person's life. The way you do things, the character that you have, sometimes it speaks louder than words. You know, one time we were with one of the mashayikh. We used to study with him in his house. And one time we came out, and we had dinner with him outside. The reason is because he used to give us dinner at home all the time, but his wife was not home. His wife was not home on that day. And so we went on instead. When we went out, we started eating. After we finished eating, one of the students took like a couple of toothpicks and, tissue. You know how you get extra tissue and you put it in your car just in case you need it? So toothpicks and tissues. Like, he stuffed it up in his pockets and a couple of them, right? The Sheikh looked at him and he said, "Don't you feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" Like, for us, everyone saw it. Everyone saw it, but we never took notice of it at all. We didn't think it was anything big. But with him, he looked at it and he said, "Don't you fear Allah? Don't you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, 'La yughadiru saghiratan wa la kabiratan illa ahsaha'?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let go of anything big or small, except He'll hold you accountable for it. Except they'll be enumerated on the Day of Judgment. And we're thinking, toothpicks? Come on, 5 or 6, yeah. Right? Tissues, a couple of, 5 or 6 here and there. You might need them when you go outside, right? The Shaykh said, if you were the owner of this restaurant, would you want every customer to do that? Would you want every customer to do something like that? Said, no, we wouldn't, because we'd have to change, put new paper every 2 or 3 hours, and new toothpicks. He said, yes, go ahead. We're thinking, we paid for it. We paid for it, right? It's part of the price that we pay for the food. He says, yes, but it's okay to take a cup, one or two, and use it, but for the next 5 meals also? For the next 5 meals also? We don't think anything of it. But the difference here is that actions sometimes speak louder than words. And when you see something in action, it affects you for the rest of your life. And you learn from it. And that's why there's a saying, right? Your actions speak so loud, I can't even hear what you're saying. And so during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not just speak and teach the theoretical part on the minbar and then you don't see him again until next week on the minbar. No, he ate with them, he joined them, and he traveled with them. And he joined them in their regular activities on the weekdays, and he's always with them. So you can see that which was taught being applied. And this is what we're lacking nowadays, right? You have the imam, the teacher, maybe he gives the khutbah and so forth, mashallah. Next week, you don't see him, he's with his wife, and he's with his family. You don't see him again until next week. Like, look, there's very little interaction, and there's no, that type of tarbiyah, you don't see it. And so it makes a big difference. And that's why when a person, as I mentioned, when a person is sincere, Allah magnifies that person's deed. That's why some of the teachers that we learn from, I still remember to this day, there are some teachers, when they come into class, I put down the pen. I don't take notes. You might say, wow, that's not a good thing to say, right? No, it's not. It's like, guess what you're saying. But you know what? I don't want to miss any words that he's saying. You might say, well, don't worry, I get the notes from my friend later on. But the thing is, even if I didn't get the notes from him, like some of the classes I remember him teaching till this day, I could repeat the points, I can see them very clear, vivid to this day. Not because I'm smart. Because I think about it, other teachers put points also. Why is it I remember these points from this particular teacher? Why? Do you know why? Because when a person is sincere, Allah wants to magnify and increase His reward so that the people who are listening, it stays in their heart. It changes their lives. So that you can go and you can teach others also, and others will benefit from that, and the reward will still continue to come to that teacher. That's why it's very important to be sincere. And not only sincere, to have sidq, to be truthful with yourself, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, whatever you show to others, In private, you're much better than that even. You're not contradicting yourself. You know, it doesn't, when you contradict yourself, then that's where you have a problem. And so, this scholar was one of those. People started, he had a book, he collected it and he put together. The Khalifa reminded him and told him, his name was Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. He came to him and he said, why don't you put together a book so that people can benefit from? And so he did so. And he taught it. And others started to copy. And they even named it the same name. But when you mention this book, even though you have other books, everyone comes back to it. You only know one. You only know one book. You know his book only. And so, some of you guys probably know who he is already, right? Who is this scholar? Who is it? Who is it? No, not Imam Ahmad. Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Malik. Imam Darul Hijra. Imam of Medina. When you say Imam of Medina, who does it come to? What comes to your mind? Al-Imam Malik. Imam Darul Hijra. Nobody. Are there many Imams in Medina? There have been many Imams, but when you say Al-Imam, Imam Darul Hijra, the Imam of the place where the companions, where the people made Hijra to, everyone, the only name you think of is Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. And when you think, what was the book that he put together, that he compiled? Al-Muwatta. One of his students, they came, and they said, oh Imam, why don't you teach us something else? Because all he did was he just teach Imam Al-Muwatta. He said, why don't you teach us something else? Other people have now started to compile Muwatta'ats, other Muwatta's also. Muwatta's are books, the hadith books that are collected to help people when it comes to fiqh and so forth. And so his Muwatta, they said, other people have compiled such things. And so what did he say? He said, whatever's for Allah will remain. Whatever isn't will disappear. So whatever's for Allah will remain. The magnitude of a person's actions, the reward is determined by the sincerity and the correctness of that particular action. And so, Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, when it comes to knowledge, when it comes to adab, etiquettes, you learn so much from him. We learn so much from him. First of all, he used to give fatwa from a very young age. Does anybody know how old he was when he started giving fatwa? And we're talking about real, you know, like nowadays everyone's giving fatwa, okay? Everyone's mufti, this and mufti, everybody is, everybody. But you know what? Giving fatwa is something that is very great, that not everyone is allowed to do such things. Only when a person has the knowledge, deep in knowledge. But now, sometimes a person will ask, I remember some people asking, they'll ask me questions, and you're thinking about the answer, and they'll say, oh, Ustad, I read it here, there, this, it's haram. Right away. Very straight people are very fast to say this halal, this haram. And so that's something that's very dangerous, because when you say something is halal and something is haram, it's as if you're signing on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment to say, Ya Allah, you know you wanted this. And so that's why we have to be very careful. And Imam Malik rahimahullah, at the age of 17, but it was because of his great knowledge, but he didn't just go, people ask him, and then he started giving fatwa. Right? He started studying and started learning and so forth, and for many years, but before he would do any of that, he said, I did not sit to give any fatwa And so I went to 70 scholars who testified, amongst the people of knowledge, who testified that I'm qualified. And gave the testimony. Went around 70 major, on the major scholars. And Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he was of course an example when it came to adab and it came to manners. And a person wrote to him, and this is something that we need to learn from. When it comes to etiquettes, as I mentioned, we're lacking that a lot, especially nowadays. Imam Malik rahimahullah received a letter. Somebody wrote to him. And he was trying to motivate him to do some good deeds, you know, to do certain types of good deeds. So he wrote back to him. And he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَسَمَ الْأَعْمَالِ كَمَا قَسَمَ الْأَرْزَاقَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided deeds, good deeds, just like He distributed your provisions, the rizq. فَرُبَّ رَجُلٍ فُتِحَ لَهُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَلَمْ يُفْتَحْ لَهُ فِي الصَّوْمِ. Sometimes a person will be given, you know, Allah will make it easier for him to increase his prayers when he does a lot of sunnah and prayers. But when it comes to fasting, no. وَآخَرْ يُفْتَحُهُ فِي صَدَقَةٍ. And some people, Allah gave them, you know, opened it up for them, made it easier for them to give sadaqah, وَلَمْ يُفْتَحُهُ فِي صَوْمٍ. But you know, when it comes to fasting, that's not theirs. And some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easier for them to go jihad. But they, when it comes to seeking knowledge, they, you know, are not too motivated in that matter. And so he said, وَنَشْرُ عِلْمٍ أَفْضَلْ عَمَلٍ. And indeed, spreading knowledge is one of the most, the best of deeds. And so he said, وَقَدْ رَضِيتُ بِمَا فُتِحَ لِي فِيهِ. And I am pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed for me, made easy for me, which is seeking knowledge and also conveying this knowledge. وَمَا أَظُنُّ مَا أَنَا فِيهِ بِدُونَ مَا أَنْتَ فِيهِ. And I don't feel like whatever I am doing right now is less than whatever you're doing. But وَأَرْجُ أَن يَكُونَ كِلَانَ عَلَى خَيْرٍ وَبِرٍ. But you know, I hope that both of us are both doing good. And this is all piety and righteousness. This is very important nowadays. You know why? Because there are some people, when they start seeking knowledge, they look at the other people. Look, this guy, he doesn't even do this and doesn't even do that. But you don't know, the other person might be doing other good deeds, other types. Maybe he's giving sadaqah. Allah made it easy for him to give sadaqah. So don't put down this person and that person because this person is less than you in prayers or in sadaqah and so forth. He might be giving something else. He might be giving something else. And so you have to understand, there are some people, when they seek knowledge, they belittle other people who are doing other things. And they might be doing things that are good. And some people, they belittle others also, this organization and that organization. And instead of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they call to their organization or to their group or to their sheikh and so forth. Because the sunnah is to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sunnah is to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there might be people who are doing good, but don't belittle the other people. But at the same time, don't look at yours as being your action as being better than the other person's actions. But look at it as a whole that Allah has given you. This part, this is something that you like. Because there are some people, mashallah, they focus on one aspect of Islam and they make it a whole. And that's it. That's everything. And they belittle other people. Some people, mashallah, when it comes to da'wah, mashallah. When you speak to them, it's all about da'wah. Right? You got to go out, do everything. That's all it is. And then, when it comes to other aspects, you know, establishing, you know, seeking knowledge and so forth, and helping the community, doing other things, they say that's secondary stuff. Belittling other people. Even though other people are doing things that are also good, then there are certain people, when you speak to them, They all they do is speak about jihad and establishing khilafah and so forth. And then they belittle other people. That is a part of Islam. Da'wah is also a part of Islam. The reason why some people deviate is because they take that small part and make it a whole. They don't look at Islam as a whole. So there are some people, mashallah, when it comes to seeking knowledge, aqidah, very good. But when it comes to akhlaq, manners, they're one of the worst people. Right? One of the worst people. They have knowledge, yes, but the way they give it, a'udhu billah. You understand? Everyone wants to run away from them. And then there are some people, mashallah, da'wah. Yes, yes, but they don't have anything to give. If they were to spend, for example, 5 years or 10 years really studying the deen, and then spend another 5 years calling people to Islam based upon knowledge, there would be so much more fruitful. It would be so much more fruitful, for example. So you have to look at Islam as a whole. So Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he said, you know, there are some people, Allah made it easy for them for sadaqah. Some people Allah made it easy for them for in this matter, that matter. But don't belittle other people. Don't think that you, because you've done this, you're better than me and better than that. And so that's why this is part of etiquette. He said, كِلَانَا لَخَيْرٍ. Well, all of us, we're doing good. And so sometimes you have this organization, that organization. Believe it or not. If that's a Muslim organization, they're helping Islam and the Muslims, their success is your success as a Muslim. Doesn't matter what the organization, when it's calling to Allah, when it's helping Islam and the Muslims. Their success is your success as a Muslim also. And so, all of us, inshallah, hopefully we're all doing good. That's what Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he mentioned. And this is, you know, some of the etiquettes in adab, when relating to the wisdom and so forth of Imam Malik, rahimahullah. And Imam Malik, rahimahullah, was also asked. He was asked, a person came to him, I have a very, simple question. And he said, I have سؤال خفيف, مسألة خفيفة. Meaning this is a light, something light. Something just easy, right? And so Imam Malik looked at him and he said, ليس في العلم شيء خفيف. He said, when it comes to knowledge here in Islam, there's nothing about light about it whatsoever. There's nothing, don't look at it as something small or light. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Indeed, we will give you, O Muhammad, قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. A heavy, heavy word. Meaning the Qur'an, the verses of the Qur'an, the sunnah. This is all something that's very of the utmost of importance. And so, when he was asked about fatwa and so forth, it was something that, when he was asked, he said, and you know, some of the students of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, they said, if someone asked him a question about deen, إِذَا سُئِلَ أَنْ مَسْأَلَهُ, when he's asking about something, it's as if he's standing بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. It's as if he's standing between hell and paradise. Meaning that answer will determine whether he enters the hellfire or paradise. So if you don't know, don't just say you don't know. That's why Imam Malik, rahimahullah, when he was asked, Imam Shafi, his student, students asked him, what did you hear from Imam Malik more than anything else? What phrase did you hear from your teacher? Yeah, you were with Imam Malik all those years. What phrase did you hear from him more than anything else? You know what he said? La adri, I don't know. The problem is, whenever you hear somebody like that, anyone saying, I don't know, during our time, because we don't know the etiquettes of knowledge, we don't know, because we don't know, when somebody says, for example, somebody says, I don't know, you say, oh, that guy's nuts, he doesn't know anything. But when somebody answers every question, whether it's right or wrong, oh, mashallah, scholar there. Right? I still remember to this day, when I first returned to Seattle, in the state of Washington, I would give talks and people would ask me questions. And then if I had any doubts with any question, I would just say, I don't know. So one of my friends came to me and he said, Abdul Bari, let me tell you something. We're not in Medina anymore. We're in the United States of America right now. People are so ignorant that they don't know they're ignorant. Ignorance to the second power. That's a problem. And so, when somebody asks you a question, and you say, I don't know, they think you're ignorant, you don't know anything. They don't want to listen to you. There's a person that comes and gives talks in this masjid also. He doesn't know. But he doesn't know he doesn't know. Anytime somebody asks him a question, he'll halal haram right away. And many of the halal haram are totally messed up. He doesn't even know what he's saying, but people think he's a mashallah, a big scholar. Because he never says, I don't know. And the people don't know that. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? Right? And he said, I know you know more than him. And you can give people the truth. But he's leading people astray. You keep on saying, I don't know. Nobody wanted to listen to you. And nobody would want to listen to you. So what are we supposed to do? I said, what am I supposed to do if I don't know something? I said, I know you know it. If you know it, say just answer. If you don't know it, at least answer. Say like say something like, inshallah, I'll look more deeply into it next week. I'll give you the full answer. Say that at least. Otherwise, if you keep on saying, I don't know, you're going to lead people astray because they're going to listen to him, the other guy. And the other guy doesn't know anything. But people think he knows. And so the problem is, in our time, when we hear somebody saying, I don't know, we think, you know, that if somebody always says he knows everything, then that's actually problematic. Because, you know, half of, you know, some of the companions you mentioned, they said half of knowledge, Abu Darda, he said half of knowledge is I don't know. Because you have to know what you don't know before you know what you do know. Do you understand? If you don't know what you don't know, then you'll never know. You'll be ignorant. Confused you a little bit, right? Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he used to say, I don't know. That's what he said the most. And he was asked, Al-Haytham ibn Jamil, he said, I saw Imam Malik. He was asked 48 questions. 48 questions. Out of those 48 questions, he said, I don't know 32 times. Subhanallah. That's Imam Malik, Imam Darul Hijrah. Imam Darul Hijrah. Why? You might ask. The reason is because the person gives fatwa. He gives ruling. It's a serious thing. Something that's very serious because you're signing on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't have the qualifications, then you say you don't know. Don't answer. If you don't know, don't say, well, I think maybe this, or you read two or three books and say, oh, and then you start answering, well, this and that. This is something that's very, very dangerous. And the great scholars of before, they were afraid of giving fatwas. But we also have to understand something. One thing also. When you ask people of knowledge and ask people who are qualified. When a person is qualified and he has the credentials and the qualification to give fatwa. Even when he makes a mistake, that person will still be rewarded. So you need, like for example, the scholars of Islam, you know, the immas, the imams, these are mujtahidun. They do ijtihad. They have the qualifications. So if they give the right answer, they will get two rewards. If they give the wrong answer, they will still get one reward for their effort. It's like when a person, let's say for example, a hospital is looking for a doctor. So they find out, they hire a doctor, and he shows them his credentials, paperwork and everything, so they hire him. And mashallah, when he does surgery and so forth, and he's able to actually save a life, he's actually able to save a life. But they find out later on, 2 or 3 weeks later, they find out his diploma, paperwork, everything is fake. What are they going to do to him? Did he do anything wrong like in his practice? He didn't do anything wrong in his practice. He saved a life. But what are they going to do to him because he has he's not qualified? What are they going to do to him? First of all, of course they're going to fire him. They'll probably put him in prison. But if a doctor who's qualified, let's say he makes a mistake. You know, once in a while, nobody's perfect, he makes a mistake. He might not get his bonus, but he'll still get his salary, right? He might not get the bonus. But if he does a really, really good job all the time, he'll get his salary plus he'll get his bonus. He'll get two rewards. But when somebody's not qualified, they'll put him in jail.